Someone as well said, by the way, anytime you hear a preacher say someone as well said, it means we can't find the attribution to the quote. Amen. Someone as well said, a Christian is in one of three places in their life. They're either in a storm, they've just come out of a storm, or they're getting ready to head into a storm. Isn't that true, ladies and gentlemen? Storms represent difficulties. And ever since the fall of man in Eden, the willful fall of man, man has reaped a harvest of difficulty. You remember when the Lord God was meting out the consequences to the guilty parties. And of course He dealt with the serpent first and Satan. But then He said unto Adam and Eve, it said in chapter 3 of Genesis verse 16, let me read it to you. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. We've got some mothers in the room. And all God's mothers said, amen. Amen. But then He went down and of course he talked about what else would happen there to the woman. It said, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and thou shalt eat of the herb. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thy return unto the ground. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the crops just grew. How about that? And all God's farmers said, wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen? But no, since the fall, man has been fraught with difficulty. I think of some examples of difficulty. I think of, number one, just by way of introduction, the perplexities of life. The difficulties that leave us scratching our head and saying, why? You know, I look in the Bible and I see, by the way, the best illustrator of the Bible is the Bible. It is. It just is. You don't need, and I'm not against illustrations, but God illustrates His own book. When I think of one of the difficulties of life, one of the perplexities of life, I think of Leah. Remember Leah in Genesis? The daughter of Laban. It said about Leah, she was tender-eyed. I don't know what that means. But I know in the very next breath it said of Rachel that she was beautiful and well-favored. I happen to think about Leah, it was probably the opposite. And you think about Leah and think about what her father did to her. I don't know, Laban's a rascal. He gave away his daughter to a man that didn't want her. That's a perplexing, that's a why did this happen moment in life. Amen? I think of not only Leah, but I think also of Rachel, how beloved she was and how much Jacob loved her. And she gave birth to Joseph. But what happened when she gave birth to Benjamin, ladies and gentlemen? She died. Why? Why did I lose my wife in childbirth? I think about Israel. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Israel was in hot. They were in Egypt, the Bible says, for 430 years. And I think those 30 years was when Joseph was alive. But then it says there arose a new king who knew not Joseph. You read later on that they were in Egypt for 400 years. And the Bible says that 400 years was in cruel bondage. They use a term, it's an incredible term in the Bible, calls it the iron furnace. Why? Why? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a lifespan of 70 years and you're in Egypt in that first 100 years, Brother Tom, you're not getting out. Why do we have to serve in hard bondage and rigor? Why did my loved one die? Amen? Why is life just so hard for me? The perplexities of life. I think not only of the perplexities of life, but I think of the process of sin. Or we might call it sowing and reaping. It's God's immutable law. You know, the only time God allows that law to be broken is through Jesus Christ. Amen? Because the truth is, we've all sowed sin and we should all reap hell, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. Israel, why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Sin. Read the period of the judges and the cycle, amen, of sin. And then they cry out to God and God sends a deliverer and then they go back into sin. And it's just this mouse wheel. So much so that they were so oppressed that when God in Judges chapter 6 came unto Gideon, he said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Brother Abe, he said, "Who, me?" As he was hiding behind the threshing floor. And he said, "God, if you're for us, why is all this befallen us?" The process of sin, sowing and reaping, the perplexities of life. You know, something else that's a difficulty is the prosperity of the wicked. Amen? Or is it just me in Psalm 73 that agree with that? No. You remember Psalm 73? The psalmist said, "I was well nigh gone when I considered the wicked and how everything goes his way. He's never in want. All these things happen good for him." And then he said in verse number 17, he said, "Until I went into the sanctuary and heard and understood their latter end." Those are some examples of difficulty. Our context here in 1 Kings, it's the northern kingdom. We know it as Israel, the 10 tribes of the divided kingdom. It's in approximately 850 BC. And the king of Israel at the time is Ahab. And about all you need to know about Ahab, if you look back in 1 Kings chapter number 16, beginning in verse 29, it says, "In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." Not a very good tombstone. "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel." He went from bad to worse. By the way, we don't have a lot of young people. We counsel young people. You want to wreck your life? Marry wrong. Amen. Marry the wrong person. Marry somebody with no spirituality if you want to go wrong. Amen. Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up for an altar of Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Things are not good here, ladies and gentlemen, in this passage in the Bible. Things are not good in Israel. They're full of difficulty. And then God raised up Elijah. Not to preach itchy ear sermons. Not to comfort old Ahab and say, "Everything's going to be all right, big boy." But to get right in his face, Brother Mark, and say, "You're the problem." You read later on in chapter 18, remember when Elijah disappears for a while and then he comes back and Ahab says to him, is it you that troubles Israel? And Elijah said, "It's you. You're the problem. You're the one that's provoking God to anger. You're the reason why it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Boy, we need Elijahs. Man, do we need Elijahs in our country. We need Elijahs that'll stand in pulpit and thunder, thus saith the Lord. No compromise. Somebody says, "Well, I don't like loud preaching." Listen to me. I believe in modulating your voice, and I know all the vocal parts of preaching. There's just times to thunder. Listen, Praise God, I went to school with Dr. Tom Malone. He thundered. In his 80s, he thundered. He thundered against sin, and that's what we need.
That's right.
The reason we're in the mess that we're in this country is because pulpits are getting quiet. Thunder against sin. And Elijah came and pointed his bony finger and preached the word. He was instant in season, out of season, and he reproved and rebuked, thank God. You see in verses 1 through 7, and I'll just go quickly because, I haven't even got to the message yet, and I'd really like to get to it soon, amen, and I'm sure you would too. We see drought in verse number 1, and of course, you know, Elijah comes, he says, it's not going to rain until I say. And we find out later in James 5:17 says it was 3.5 years long. In verses 2 through 4, we see God directing, God telling the man of God where to go, where there's going to be water for a little bit of time. And then we see in also there in the directing that God commands the ravens to feed thee. We see a decision in verse 5. Elijah had to make a decision. You look at right at the beginning of verse 5. God said, I want you to go. So he went. Made a decision. Praise God. We see a special delivery in verse 6. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And then we see the difficulty in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Let me give you the points and then I'll give you what I call the exposition and then the applications. In verses 8 and 9, we see the revelation, number 1. The revelation was God had revealed the next step to Elijah. Yes, I told you to go to Cherith. Now I want you to go to Zarephath. It's interesting. God revealed the next step to Elijah. But you know what, Brother Wiesner? Before God sent him to Cherith, he didn't tell him he was going to Zarephath. He said, I want you to go to Brook Cherith first. That's where I want you to go. Now, folks, God, obedience is the key here. Obedience is the key. If we are not willing to obey God, we cannot expect God to show us the next step. Amen. It's obedience. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not a spotlight. It's not a floodlight. It shows us the next step. I never dreamed 5 years ago, 5 years, Brother Tom, that I would be the pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Never dreamed it. Never heard of Jackson. Didn't know where it was. Sorry. Not that big a name, I guess. I'm told that the Republican Party started here. It's about 6 blocks down from my house. I don't know anything about it more than that. But I, by God's grace, I was trying to just obey Him. One step at a time. One step at a time. You too, amen? Elijah here. By the way, he also revealed that to the widow woman. Because it says in verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. Can I say this about this revelation? It's not always loud, is it? A couple chapters later. Well, let's go there. We got our Bibles. Let's go. Chapter 19, verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So many times we want the earthquake and the fire, don't we? When God gives us in the quiet of the morning hours a still, small voice. Right here. The revelation. Secondly, the request. Go back into 1 Kings chapter 17 and look at verses 10 and 11. And I tell you, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, you don't read His Word. And by the way, we're made in the image of God, and we have a sense of humor. Amen. I've read this passage over and over and over, and it makes me laugh. I'm sorry. It says there in verse 10, it says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand.'" If you don't think that's funny, you're not reading it. So here's this man in town, and he says, "Excuse me, ma'am, go." It doesn't say he asked. I would have asked. I'm not picking on Elijah or God's word or anything, but that's how you know, by the way, that God had commanded her, because she knew he was coming. But he says, get me a drink of water. And then as she's going to get it, he says, "Oh, stop, come back. Give me some food too." Strange request. Seems selfish. But according to our Bibles, it was a scriptural request, because God had commanded. Boy, the Word of God is so important, ladies and gentlemen. It's so important. When God says something, we ought to believe it. Amen. We ought to believe it. So we see the revelation, the request. We see the reluctance in verse 12. Why was she reluctant? Because all she had was a little meal, a little oil, and she was getting ready, Brother Jim, to have the original Last Supper. She was getting ready to have that Last Supper and die. The famine had come. We don't know how long it is from chapter 17, verse 1 to chapter 17, verse number 12. I don't know how long it was. Doesn't say. But for whatever, famine of 6 months is a long time. A famine of a month is a long time when you have nothing. So she was reluctant. We see the reminder in verses 13 and 14. Oh, praise God again for His Word. "And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not.'" Aren't you glad for that reminder? Fear not. Hey, when you go into surgery, fear not. Hey, when there's too much month at the end of the money, fear not. Hey, when you lose your job, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because He says there, "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Why? "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." There it is again, God's Word. "The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." I preached a couple Sunday nights ago on the promises of God. You know, sometimes we just need the reminders. And you know what? Sometimes, though we know the promises of God, and though we believe the promises of God, God will prompt somebody to come along just at the right moment and say, Romans 8:28, Miss June, still in the Bible. "And we know that all things work together for good." Now, Miss June, you know that, and I know that, but God prompts us sometimes to write that on a card when somebody really needs it. God prompts us, those of us that are in the technology, God will prompt us to send a text message with a little verse attached to it. "I thank my God always and in every remembrance of you," Philippians 1:3. Somebody that feels forsaken and forgotten, it's God's Word. It's a reminder. And we see the reminder here. After the reminder, we see the response in verse 15. She had a choice to make. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She'd heard God's promises. She realized this was God's man. And she did what God said. We see the reward in verses 15 and 16. It says, "She went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days." And folks, this is going to be the theme verse for our missions conference for next year. Verse 16. Unless the Lord changes. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord." I look at the figures tonight, and we'll have our business meeting, but ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing. It's amazing to sit on the board. It's amazing to be part of the missionary committee and see us giving, 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 giving. And by the way, giving out, spending money on a parking lot. A lot of it, $40,000 on carpet, sending missionaries, helping missionaries on project, and to see us having more money at the end than we did at the beginning. Why? Because the barrel of the meal wasted not, and the oil wasted not. When you obey God, you put yourself right in line for the blessing. I got a visual illustration of that Sunday. Brother Mitchell had the dunk bucket. Did anybody see that out there? Amen. That little dunk bucket. I got a great video of my son under there. And he's sitting in the chair, and he's right under that bucket. He's saying, "No, don't do it, don't do it." And somebody hit the button, and then boom, it just poured right on his head, and he went like this, like this. You know, that's what we want for God's blessing. But sometimes the reason why churches don't have it is because they're not here, they're over here, fighting about the money. Or they're over here, like the Israel in the wilderness, hoarding the manna. Remember what happened when they hoarded the manna? Bread worms and stank. And forgive me, there's a lot of churches that are breeding worms and stinking and fighting about every nickel. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Giving. Why? Because God keeps giving. God keeps giving. Amen. And so we see there the reward was God's miraculous provision. But then, you know, boy, I'd like to finish the chapter. I'll do it in my application. Let me give you seven applications, and we'll be done tonight. Seven, and I'll throw them at you quick. Number one, obedience to God's commands obligates God to provide for His own. I'm not giving you some prosperity doctrine. I'm giving you Bible doctrine. When you obey God, you have every right to expect God to provide for your needs. Over and over and over and over in the Scriptures, God says it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God said, I'll not only take care of your food and raiment, I'll take care of everything else too. Say, Pastor, why do you say that with a message called Divine Directions during difficult days? Because when it's difficult to obey God, that's when it's most necessary. When it's difficult to obey God. I don't look at the giving on purpose. Ms. Kim sees the giving. Mr. and Mrs. Kelly see the giving. Mr. and Mr. McGee see the giving. I don't see the giving. But I know that we have people in our church that are giving more than other people might think that they are able. They believe, I'm going to obey God. God's laid a missions figure on my heart, and I'm going to obey Him. And over and over and over and over, through year after year, after decade, God has provided. It's unbelievable. I think about this in our church, and I'd really like to dwell long on this, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't have time. But just to say this, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us in general fund. God has blessed us in missions. God has blessed us in building fund over and over and over. Why? Because I believe we're trying to be obedient to what He would have. Number two, what's left is always enough when we give God what's His first. God wants, desires, and deserves first place in our life. Amen. God wants, desires, and deserves first place in our life. So what's left? What we have left is always enough when we give God what's His first. Here was this lady that was getting ready to make her last meal. Elijah said, just make me one first. Just make me one first. And what happened? The barrel of meal and the cruse of oil wasted not. Wasted not. Number three, we need to make time daily to consider God's miraculous provision in our lives. Just imagine what it was to be this widow woman. And Elijah's now living there, and her son, and her. And every day, for let's just take an arbitrary figure. For the last 60 days, Brother Jim, she's taken that meal out, and the oil, and she's made a meal. How many of you, now listen, Brother Stephen and I were talking about this before service. I personally don't think, Brother Holy, that the meal piled up to here. I think there was just enough every day. But I think she must have went like this. She made the meal, went to sleep, got up the next day, and here's the cruse of oil, and here's the barrel of the meal. And she went, you know, we need to do that. Go home and look at your cupboards. Go home and look at your home. Some of you live on retirements. God bless. And I understand being prudent and things like that. But listen, all that comes from God. Amen. All that comes from God. God bless us over and over. Need to take time, make time daily to consider His miraculous provision in our life. Number four, God uses ordinary people and items to accomplish the extraordinary. Over and over. Here we have sticks. We have a little meal, a little oil, a cruise, a barrel. In Judges chapter 6, we had a lantern, a trumpet, and a pitcher, and they defeated an army. In Joshua chapter number 6, they walked around the greatest city that was in existence at the time. And the wall fell flat. God uses ordinary people. By the way, God still desires to use people. I don't believe God could use me. You're dead wrong. Dead wrong. God wants to use you. Just wants you to be willing. Number five, God's provision is a demonstration of His love. God's provision in our life just shows us. And I'm in the middle. I'm in the, Lord willing, somebody had said to me, I'm 55 years old. I'm middle age now. So, well, if you live to be 110, you're middle age. Amen. Truth is, we don't know what middle age is. I think I am, but judging by some of this crowd over here, I'm probably at middle age. Amen. I hope so. But I've watched God provide for me. I've been saved now almost 20 years and seen God provide. Some of you in your 70s and 80s, you could just testify from morning to night. How God has led and blessed every step of the way. Why? Because He loves us. Herein is manifest the love of God, that He gave His own Son for our sins. 1 John chapter 4 says, God's provision demonstrates His love for us. Number six, for those of you that are in difficult times, I can't lie to you. You read the end of the chapter, verse 17 talks about how the widow's son died. Sometimes when you decide to obey God, things get worse. All God's people said, amen. It's true. Not always, thank God. Amen. Not always. But sometimes, and you remember this poor woman, she doubted God and doubted God's man and doubted God's plan. And she began to bring up her past. There's a lot of conjecture whether this was an illegitimate child and thus she was scorned for having such a child. Whatever that was, things got worse. Right in the midst of blessings. But you know what? That's that person that didn't realize they were getting ready to go into storm, and all of a sudden the storm came. Lastly tonight, we read verses 18-24. You find out what happens here. The child dies and she calls for Elijah, and Elijah comes in, and literally just a strange happening in the Bible, a miracle of Elijah. He lays on that child and breathes in, and it's the first resurrection or restoration in the Bible. What I learned from that is this: the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. So maybe you're in a difficult time right now. Can I tell you the most of the divine directive in this? If I could boil it all into one point. If you're in difficulty, just keep obeying God. Just keep obeying God. Just keep walking with Him. Just keep coming to church. Amen. Keep giving what you can. Keep giving to missions. Keep trying to win souls. Keep trying to pass out gospel tracts. Keep fellowshipping with the brethren. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep reading the Word. Amen. Keep doing the things that you know God would have you to do, and watch God bless. Divine directions during difficult days. Father,